Hi, welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. I'm Kelly Swales. I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine magazine. Today I have with me Dr. Nathan Letterbauer. He's going to talk a little bit about MultiTOF in even more detail.
Thank you, Kelly. And again, thank you to the ASCP for sponsoring this podcast series. The focus of today's podcast is going to be to build upon the first podcast where we spoke about advances in identification using MultiTOF, particularly around aerobic and anaerobic bacterial organisms. In today's podcast, I want to spend a few moments discussing how MultiTOF can be used by the Clinical Microbiology Laboratory for identification of mycobacteria as well as the filamentous fungi, and some incredibly exciting advances in how these technologies can impact laboratory turnaround time. I want to start with identification of the mycobacteria. And several studies and several authors have begun to look at and ask whether MultiTOF can be used to identify mycobacterial organisms. Now, certainly there are a number of important criteria that need to be considered when implementing MultiTOF for identification of mycobacteria. And first and foremost, the primary concern needs to be safety of both our patients and our technologists. We all understand that mycobacteria is transmitted by respiratory droplets in the case of patient care settings. So in order to make sure, before we start using MultiTOF, that it's safe for our technologists, we need to evaluate the technology and the ability of the extraction techniques in order to kill organisms. So in the first study that I want to evaluate today, was published in the American Journal of Clinical Pathology by Buchan and colleagues that evaluated the use of a water wash followed by ethanol, followed by heat kill step, followed by acetonitrile in formic acid extraction steps. The interesting thing about this study was the protocol that was developed involved several washes with both alcohol and water in order to ensure the organism was dead, followed by identification of the organisms using MultiTOF. So to begin with this protocol, either a sample growing in a liquid culture or a solid media was evaluated. The authors initially suspended the organism in water, they spun the organism out of the water, and they did several washes, including a water wash, a 75% ethanol wash, and another water wash. This was done to remove any residual media from the organism. Once the organism had been purified, the organism was suspended in 50 microliters of water and was heated to 95 degrees for 30 minutes. Now, the authors emphasized the importance of heating to 95 degrees for 30 minutes in order to ensure that all organism was dead. If they heated only to 15 minutes, organism among the species Mycobacterium avium intercellulare, Mycobacterium fortuitum, Mycobacterium bovis, and Mycobacterium abscessus chelonii could all be recovered. However, when they extended their incubation to 30 minutes, organisms from any of those groups could not be recovered. So once the organism is dead, they follow this by a wash in ethanol, and they begin then to extract the organism by adding 50 microliters of acetonitrile and silica beads. The silica beads and acetonitrile are then vortexed with the organism for 1 minute to break open the cell wall, and formic acid is added. Once formic acid is added, it's spun down, and the supernatant is evaluated on the MultiTOF instrument. This group evaluated the performance of MultiTOF on 88 clinical isolates grown on both Middlebrook 7H11 solid media and Versatrec mycobacterial broth. The study enrolled Mycobacterium avium intercellulare isolates, Mycobacterium tuberculosis complex isolates, Mycobacterium abscessus chelonii, fortuitum group, Gordonier, Kinzasii, Mucogenicum, Xenopi, and a host of other mycobacterial organisms. It looked at the rate of identification, the rate of correct identification, and the number of organisms in each score category. For this study, among organisms grown on solid media, they found 10 isolates that gave them no identification whatsoever or an unreliable confidence score. 39% of isolates gave them a score ranging from 1.7 to 2, which would be a genus-level confident identification. Now, the interesting thing about this study was when they looked at the percent concordance of the identification with sequencing to a genus and species level, even those organisms giving a score of 1.7 or above were correct to the species level 92% of the time. And when they further looked at organisms giving them a confidence score of greater than 2 or a secure genus level confidence score, they found that 50% of their isolates could be found in this group and 95.5% of the scores were correct when compared with sequencing. Now, the other interesting thing about this study was they also evaluated direct identification of the organisms from a liquid culture specimen. When they used a liquid specimen, the number of organisms that gave them no identifications dropped from 10 to 1 between the solid media and the liquid media group, and their overall rate of identification of organisms with scores greater than 2 increased from 44 to 69. So they had a substantial increase in their overall confidence scores that were reported. When they looked at concordance among identifications in the liquid grown group, it did not differ substantially from the solid media grown organisms. In a follow-up to this study, Mather and colleagues published a manuscript in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology evaluating a more rapid extraction technique. In this study, they looked at organisms grown on solid media, and they suspended those organisms in 300 microliters of water plus silica beads. Similar to the Buchan study, they heated all of their isolates to 95 degrees for 30 minutes. They followed this with an ethanol extraction and beat the organisms by vortexing them for 10 minutes, and then performed their formic acid and acetonitrile extraction, analyzing the isolates on the Bruker biotyper. In Mather's study, they compared performance of the same population also extracted and run on the Vitek MS system. For their Vitek MS extraction, they took organism again grown on solid media. They suspended the organism in 500 microliters of ethanol plus silica beads. They bead beat the organisms on a vortexer for 15 minutes, performed a 10-minute wait, and then extracted the organisms using formic acid and acetonitrile. They compared performance of the Bruker rapid extraction technique to the Vitek MS extraction technique, and they found that among many of their isolates, performance was quite similar. When they looked at the overall University of Washington protocol, or the Bruker protocol, they found that on the Bruker instrument, 79% of isolates could be identified with a confidence score greater than 2, and on the Ceramus instrument, or the Vitek MS, they found 89% of their isolates could be identified to a genus and species level. Quite interestingly, when they combined the results of the two instruments, they found that 95% of their population could be correctly identified. So using their rapid extraction protocol, Mather and colleagues demonstrate that both instruments combined yield better results than either of the single instruments. When the BioMérieux extraction protocol was used, by suspending organism in 500 microliters of ethanol, 59% of organisms were identified on the Bruker instrument, and 94.4% of isolates were identified on the Vitek MS system for an overall identification rate of 81.8% between the two instruments. A second area of interest to clinical microbiology laboratories and an area of active research is identification of filamentous fungi using the MALDI-TOF mass spec. For these studies, a part of the colony is selected from a 1 to 5 day old mold colony and is removed from the plate. The organism is placed into ethanol with silica beads, it's vortexed for 15 minutes, and it's spun at 13,000 RPM for 2 minutes to remove all the ethanol. Again, a formic acid and acetonitrile extraction is then performed, and the resulting supernatant is then analyzed on the mass spectrometer. In the first study that was published evaluating the ability of MALDI-TOF to identify filamentous fungi, Anna Lau and colleagues at the USNIH demonstrated in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology that when they used their own database, a database generated exclusively by NIH isolates, 92% of filamentous fungi enrolled in the study could be identified with a confidence score greater than or equal to 2. 2.6% of isolates could be identified to the genus level, and 5% of their 156 isolate population was not identified at all. What these studies begin to demonstrate is just how versatile MALDI is likely going to be in the clinical microbiology laboratory. It will mean that instead of having laboratories taking molds, taking mycobacteria, growing them in the clinical lab, and then shipping them to a reference lab or to a public health laboratory, they will be able to perform their identifications in the clinical laboratory, resulting in a significant decrease in turnaround time. In our own laboratory, for example, we have partially implemented identification of mycobacteria using the MALDI-TOF mass spectrometer. In doing so, we've been able to reduce the time to reporting an identification from an average of 2.5 weeks to less than 3 days from the time that the culture turns positive. This has been a significant benefit in getting patients onto optimal antimicrobial therapy faster and allowing our clinicians to make more effective decisions in the care of their patients. With that, I thank you for joining this podcast, and I hope that you found this to be a significant benefit.